The scripture says, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by those prophecies you may wage the good warfare." Father, I ask you to bless the word of God today. I know it is blessed, but I ask you, Lord, to bless it in the communication today and this thing we call preaching. Lord, that you would communicate your heart to your people, Lord, by reminding us and instructing us in your word. And we thank you very much, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come, because we are not confused. We know that it's you who brings revelation and insight and affects us on the inside. It's not a mere man with words. It's the power of God. It's the Holy Ghost. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you to come in this time of the ministry of the Word of God to stir our hearts and enlighten us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I showed you those pictures of the lighthouses because it has occurred to me that when I came to be the pastor of this congregation in 1984, by the way, who is here today that was here in 1984 when I became pastor? Y'all raise your hands. There are some. Okay. Look at that. There's a few that survived. Thank you. You can put your hands down. All right. Anyway, and so in 1984, one of the things that's unique about the characteristics of this church, obviously I'm going to talk about Life Changer today, about this church is that we really receive prophetic ministry. We believe that God not only has spoken in His Word, but we believe that God is still speaking by the gifts of the Spirit and by the gift of the fivefold ministry by prophetic voice today. We believe that one word from God can change your life. One revelatory word from this scripture, as you read it and you meditate in it, can absolutely change your life. One word from an anointed man or woman of God that is prophetic can change your life. One word not from God can really goof you up. But an authentic word from God through an authentic minister of the gospel can really change your life. You'll forever be changed. It's really remarkable how that works. And so the devil is a counterfeiter, so he's going around, to try to bring things out of the deep, mysterious things of this world. You know, it's funny to me how the people in the world understand there is a spiritual reality. They may not put language on it, may not have words for it. They may not even understand it cognitively, but they understand it. Have you watched TV lately? They understand there's more to life than what we see. Now, they're very uncomfortable calling it God. They'd rather believe in witches, warlocks, and vampires than to believe in the living God. Now, the reason for me, in my mind, the reason for that is very simple. When you admit there's a God, that means He can make the rules. When you acknowledge there's a God, you acknowledge that there's someone greater than you, someone superior to you, someone that knows more than you, and somebody that knows how you ought to live, and He can make the rules. When you boil it down to it, all atheism is and humanism is people trying to make the rules themselves and unwilling to allow God to speak into their lives. That's really the way it is. Okay? Now, Jesus said we're the light of the world, right? I read that passage. Jesus said, we're the light. That means we need to shine. We have something inside us that is greater than folks who don't have that something, Jesus, inside them. We have a light inside us, a light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of God is within us in a way that is transcendent and superior to ordinary life. We are not in this thing alone. We are not people of darkness, but we are people of light. We are not people of night, but we are people of the day. I don't like dark movies. I don't like to get my entertainment from darkness and dark ideas and dark things, because I'm not a person of darkness and you're not a people of darkness. We are a people of light. Now, because of our stance about prophecy, the gift of prophecy and the ministry of the prophet, we have understood that God speaks through men and women still today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in my 30th year as the senior leader in this congregation, And listen to me. Almost any prophetic person comes through here, says one of two things. And sometimes both. One of the things they've said from 1984 until 3 weeks ago, when the man of God, he said, this church is like a lighthouse set on a hill. A lighthouse. Well, I, you know what? Maybe you do what I did. I listen. I said, well, that's nice. A lighthouse. Well, that's nice. You know, sits on a hill. You know, I'm a landlubber. I'm not a clam digger. Now, I married a clam digger, but I'm not a clam digger. I don't know anything about the oceans. I fly across the oceans. I swim in it when I get to Florida or Texas. I guess I take cruises on water. But I don't know much about it. So last week, the Lord began to deal with me about this word. It's like time after time after time after time, the Lord has said through His prophetic voices, this church is a lighthouse. This church is a lighthouse. So I began to ask some questions, do some research. What in the world do lighthouses do? Well, I think the obvious thing. But here's four things I saw. Lighthouses aid in navigation. They mark dangerous coastlines and hazardous shoals. Number three, they mark hidden reefs or dangers that cannot be seen by the eye, by the person piloting the ship. Number four, they mark safe entries to harbors. The four primary purposes of lighthouses, whether it's on the Great Lakes, whether it's on a lake, it's on the ocean, whether it's in America, whether it's in Spain or France or Europe or in Australia or China, on the coast of every nation that has large bodies of water, lighthouses exist. They came into development in the early 1600s. And those lighthouses, well, somebody was there with a pile of sticks and burning fire. And then they learned that it needed to be reflected with a lens, and so that development came. Now, today, there's not so many lighthouses. I had a picture of the Cape May lighthouse, because it was in the town where my wife and I met. And my wife's best friend, her grandfather, was the last lighthouse keeper there for that lighthouse. And so it marks a special place for us. But we have, so lighthouses are significant for people who are navigating the oceans. So I began to think, if Life Changer is a lighthouse by the prophetic word of the Lord, could it possibly mean that we are a church that should aid in navigation in life and in the kingdom? That we are a place that aids people as they navigate their life and as they navigate the kingdom of God. They learn about the kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of the devil. They learn about the warfare that's involved in that, and don't go wacky about it, but understand it's a reality. Don't chase devils every day, but understand there is an adversary, and he must be resisted, he must be overcome, or he will resist you and he will press you. And you can't decide, oh gee, if I won't mess with him, he won't mess with me. Because his modus operandi is to mess with you. It's to steal everything and to keep you from the kingdom of God. And then if he cannot keep you from the kingdom of God, he wants to make you ineffective in the kingdom of God to steal your testimony and to steal your light. Now you may go to heaven dull all the way. Life Changer Church. So I have a confession to make. I do not know how to help you be a comfortable carnal Christian. I don't know how to help you feel good about your sin. So I cannot aid you in becoming comfortable in your sin. I don't even know how to be comfortable in my sin. It seems like when I sin, I need to repent. Hence, I'm going to help you. Aid in navigation. I do not know how to help. I do know how to help you be sold out to Christ. I do know how to help you think about that. But I cannot make that choice for you. I can shine and I can point out some things, but I cannot make the choice. You know, a navigator, he can look at the lighthouse and decide to go the other way. Isn't that right? Captain of the ship. What about that guy that's over there in the Mediterranean, you know? He was drifting a little close to the shore because he wanted to show out for somebody. And he ran that puppy ashore on a coral reef. Giant cruise ship. Thing turned over on its side. Y'all remember that story in the news? Was it last year, year and a half ago, something like that? You know, it's still laying on its side right there. He chose, and he didn't have just a lighthouse. He had all the sophisticated navigation equipment that exists today, and he chose to ignore the warnings for selfish reasons. And you know what? You can ignore every warning that I give you from this pulpit for self reasons, and I cannot protect you from what happens. We're a lighthouse. You're a lighthouse. Isn't that something? One of the things about Life Changer is we can help mark dangerous coastlines. I was thinking about a few things that are dangerous. Broken relationships are dangerous. And one of the things we do in this church is we try to help you learn how to have better relationships. We think they're important. We think the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, we think that's important. We think it matters where you go to church. It matters what you've been taught. And it matters what you believe about God and about the kingdom of God. It matters. And sometimes it doesn't seem like it matters, but it matters when there's crisis that comes. It matters. We can help to point out hidden dangers, like reefs. You know, we can aid in navigation. We can mark dangerous coastlines like relationships. How about the culture? You know, there's some things that are just dangerous in our culture. There's some TV programming that's dangerous for you as a Christian. As a Christian. There's some things that are dangerous. You know, and part of the job of this church is to highlight some of those things when we become aware. Well, you're just trying to control us, preacher. No, you know what? I can't hardly control me. I don't want the responsibility of controlling anybody else. But I do want to sound a clarion call. I do want to sound a clarion call when I see something that's dangerous. I want to sound a clarion call. And just like me, you're just like me, you do not have to listen to me. You can choose to do what you want to do. How about in economics? You can choose to honor God with your finances or you can choose not to. If you choose to honor God with your finances, He's going to bless you. He's going to bless you in all kinds of ways if you do it consistently in an honorable way. It's not magic. It's not like, well, I'm going to give a dime, I'm going to give $10, and he's going to give me $100. It doesn't work. It's not like some kind of formula. It's about having a relationship with God and you honoring God and putting God first. That's what the tithe is. A tithe, when you drop a tithe check or tithe money into a basket, do you know what it means? It means I am putting God first in my life. It's a declaration of the first place of Christ in your life. That's what it is. And when you don't, it says, well, he's not first. Well, that makes me feel bad. Well, I don't necessarily want you to feel bad, but I want you to know if you're going to walk in the blessing of the Lord, you got to do it God's way. Because you can never honor God by being obedient and come up less than what you would have been by disobedient. Did you get that? You can never look. See, it looks like sacrifice up front. It looks like sacrifice when you put God first, particularly with money, and particularly in our greedy society. And in our needy society, and with gas prices going up, although last week they went down some, but just don't hold on, it will go back up. Oil companies need to make some money after a while. I hope you own some stock in them. Anyway, and so it looks like sacrifice when you obey God. When you say yes to God, you know what the sacrifice, why it feels like sacrifice? Is because your flesh doesn't like putting God first. I mean, it just doesn't. That part of you that doesn't like to be a part of the kingdom of God, that part of you that resists authority, that part of you that resists the lordship of Jesus, that thing in you that resists the word of God, doesn't want to be brought into submission to the will of and the word and the way of God. And so consequently, it feels uncomfortable in your soul, when in fact it is very proper in the spirit. But if you will consistently choose Christ and His ways, you will find out you come out ahead every time. God's way is better. But it may not feel better at the moment. Is that clear? Am I making that clear? You know, that Jenny, my wife's saying that's why it's called take up your cross daily. Crosses weren't fun. Mark dangerous coastlines. This church is a church that we are going to be faithful to the call of God to mark dangerous coastlines. When I see something happening in our culture, when I see something in the media, when I see something like that, you will hear me talk about it from time to time. I'm not going to make it the subject of my sermons, but you will hear me mention it. I'm going to say, hello, there's a yellow flag. You know, we're out in the ocean today, and today has got a strong undertow. You start living too much in Harry Potter and Twilight Saga, you might just get sucked under and out into the middle of nowhere. The undertow will get you. Y'all know what an undertow is? Undertow is what happens at the ocean when the waves are coming in. And as the ocean gets agitated, those waves get bigger, then you can feel it. If you've ever been to the ocean, you can feel it pulling on your feet. You'll stand there and it feels like it's going to pull your feet out from under you. It's called undertow. And little babies and children and folks that are kind of frail, that thing can grab a hold of them, pull them under the water and out to sea before you know it. And listen to me. If your goal is to live current with our culture and its values, its mores, its morals, guess what can happen to you? When you're not paying attention, you'll get sucked down under and you'll be out in the middle of a mess before you know it. You don't need to be messing with drugs. You don't listen to the hype about marijuana and it's not being a big deal. Never met an addict. It was a bad problem with addiction that didn't start with small drugs. Most marijuana, others other things, but most. And so when you start messing around with light sin, it can suck you out into deep sin. You know, can we talk? This might get fun later, but can we talk? You know, looking at scantily clad ladies, gentlemen, if you're not careful, all of a sudden you'll be looking for images that don't have no clad on your computer. Ladies, listen, this works for you too. Looking at them buff six-pack guys. Hey, pornography is not a male issue only. Well, we're not in too much shouting ground there, are we? Hallelujah. This church is called to help navigate the coastline of life. This church, by prophetic declaration, has been called to point out dangerous places and dangerous things that can suck you in and consume you and destroy your life. And in moments can have such destruction that will take a lifetime to recover from. Can I just mention the name Hernandez? Has anybody seen the news this week? The number one, I believe, one of the number one NFL tight ends in the entire league is in jail this morning. He's in jail this morning. He got sucked under. Isn't that something? Lighthouses also point out hidden dangers in Christian living. How about this? If you neglect to read the Bible, and try to adjust your life to fit into the parameters and boundaries of the Bible, you're in a dangerous place. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, one of the interesting things about people over the years that I've observed about Bible reading is it is so easy to become a legalist and somehow make the Bible a book of rules. Bible is not a book of rules. Bible is not a book of rules. It has some rules, but it's not a book of rules. The Bible is an instruction manual on how to have a relationship with God. And listen, you'll find out that God loves you a whole lot more than you than your behavior could ever measure up. And so it's important to be a Bible reader. It's important on a daily basis to read the Bible. To you know, in these days on smartphones and Androids and things like that, you can have it with you where you, mine will talk, it'll read it to me. I can lay it on the dash of the car, push a button, and it'll read the Bible all the way to Tulsa in 14 different versions. It's amazing. Here's another hidden danger, prayer. You know, when prayer becomes, God help me, and that's your prayer, you are lacking. Prayer is really not about asking God for help so much as it is a vehicle for relationship. You know, if you're married in this room and you're married to your wife and you don't ever communicate with her, you're in trouble. You may not know it, but you're in trouble and you know it. I don't know anybody that's been married very long that's not communicating that you find out pretty quick you're getting in trouble, man or woman. Listen, if you're raising kids and you don't know how to communicate with children, especially adolescents, you can be in a world of hurt quickly. If you don't know how to communicate with God, you can be messed up. It's a hidden danger. It's a dangerous thing to not be a personal prayer, fellowshipping with the Lord. Number three, you need to attend church. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. You're here. But you need to be here. In this church, we really only meet as a congregation once a week on Sunday mornings. It should be a priority for you to be here. It should be a priority for you to be here. Not so I'll be happy and we'll have a crowd. Because what we do here is life-giving. It is what supports you. It is what guards you against the boundaries. It is what points out the hidden reefs. It is what protects you against hazardous environment. It is the place where you can have friendships, where you can have relationships, where you can have people of common faith and common interest. Common values. It's important to come to church. It's important to participate in church. You cannot grow up as a Christian being an observer. You cannot come to maturity in Christ only watching from the outside. So it's risky to come into relationship. It is risky. It's risky to come into relationship with Christ. It is risky. The thing is, you're not in a relationship by yourself. You're in a relationship with another person in Christ. Now, but just because a number of Christians have lived in such horrible ways and such mean-spirited things and called it Christianity doesn't make it so. Pray, provide a safe entry into harbors of life. I like to think that Life Changer is a safe place. It's a safe place. Now, it's not safe in the sense that no one will ever challenge you or you'll never be, your fur will never be rubbed the wrong way or anything like that. It's not safe like that. It's safe that we're not going to quit until we win. If you don't cut and run, we'll get it fixed. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you'll get your way. See, a lot of people think that if they don't get their way, then they can't be at peace. This is true in marriage. This is true at work. This is also true in church life. So when I say it's a safe place, it's safe in Christ. It's not safe in that we're going to walk on eggshells to keep you from getting your feelings hurt so you can manipulate us. I don't do eggshells. I hate to admit it, it's probably a sin, but God hadn't asked me to repent yet. But if I find an eggshell, I'm going to step on it. I just don't do manipulation, and I don't like being manipulated. I don't mind you working me as long as I know that's what's going on. I don't want you to work me and then me get find out 3 months later or 6 years later you were working me, then I'm ticked off. So here you go. Safe does not mean allowed to be at peace with your sin. But it does mean a non-judgmental acceptance. And can I say to you, acceptance and approval are not the same thing? Just because I accept you doesn't mean I approve of everything you do in your life. Just because I hug your neck and tell you I love you, because I do, doesn't mean that I approve of your carnality. Just because I hug my son's neck and tell him I love him and he's a part of my family, he's part of my DNA is in him, you can tell by looking, doesn't mean that I approve of every decision he makes. I do approve of most of them. But when he was in adolescence, I approved of a far fewer. You understand? Acceptance and approval are not the same thing. At this church, we're going to accept everybody. And we're not going to be judgmental about how they look, how they smell, how they present themselves. We would like them to come with clothes on of some kind. Now, are we perfect at it? Hello, we're not perfect in anything. Neither are you. But we're working toward those goals. Safe does not mean, here it is, I wrote it down, walking on eggshells so you won't be upset. We don't do that here. We try to be nice. We want to be kind. But we're not going to let you have your way in this church. Because if we say no, you'll be mad and offended. We're a lighthouse. But it does mean walking and talking in love. You know, you need to be able to speak the truth in love to one another, folks. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, I hear people talk about this. I feel like I'm running out of time, but I'm out of time, actually. But, you know, I hear people say, well, I was just telling them the truth in love. And I can tell by the tone of that voice, there was some love not working somewhere. You know, using that religious language to justify mean, vindictive conversation is not God. Well, you know, the Bible says we're supposed to speak the truth in love, and I'm just telling you the truth in love. No, if it don't break your heart, keep your mouth shut. You understand what I said? Did you get that? Nobody said anything except David. Did you hear that? If it hadn't broke your heart first, you hadn't got anything to say. If you hadn't been before God and God hadn't dealt with you and your heart hadn't broke, you hadn't got anything to say. Because if you go to confront somebody or care somebody enough for somebody to talk to them about a difficult issue, if you're going to do that and your heart hadn't been broken about it and you're just going to fix them, bless God, I'm going to help you, then you really don't have anything to say yet. And this is a safe place, I think, to be healed. You can be free. You can get free. You can be healed. Man, one more. Safe does not mean trying to fix you or your issues. I don't have a need to fix you. Now, 28 years ago, this congregation gave me a t-shirt. And on the t-shirt was a shield of Superman. But instead of having an S in it, it had an R in it. Because my reputation was, I'm a rescuer. And I appreciated the gift. And maybe God did send me here to help rescue the church. I'm sure He did. I can't even say why, but I'm sure He did. But listen, you can't rescue people, and I can't rescue people. I can try to live in honor, in integrity, in honesty, and humility. But I don't have a need to fix you. Now, I do have a need as your pastor, if I know about it, to warn you. That's my responsibility. That's what God's called me. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says, y'all should live so it's easy for me to pastor. That's in 1 Peter. Can you believe it? It's in the Bible. Make it easy for the shepherds. But it's not my job to fix your fix. Bob Mumford said, if you fix somebody's fix before they're fixed, then God will fix another fix to fix them. Did y'all get that? Too many fixes in there, but so I don't have a need to fix people. I really have the ability. I believe David does. I believe the other leaders in this church do. We can accept you and love you, and we can accept people and love people without judging them. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to let their sin go in here and run rampant and damage and hurt people. But we can accept you. How many of you know that some behaviors are unacceptable? They just are. In family, it's true. You know, there's some things you don't let your kids do, I hope. You know. So we're a lighthouse. We're a safe place. God has said it. He started saying it when I got here. He'd probably been saying it before. But I heard it in 1984 the first time. God has declared prophetically over this church that we are a lighthouse. Lighthouses aid in navigation. We aid people in navigating life in the kingdom of God. And when you'll let us, life in the earth. Lighthouses mark dangerous coastlines. I will sound a clarion warning. You don't have to listen to me, but that's what we do here. Lighthouses point out hazardous, dangerous places. We try to do that. Lighthouses will reveal to you the things that are hidden so that you can avoid it. Lighthouses provide a safe entrance to the harbor. This church is a safe place to enter, to learn, to grow, and to flourish in the kingdom of God. Did you hear me? This church is a safe place. It's a safe harbor. You can come park your ship in here, and it's safe. May not be always be comfortable. I don't know how to make you comfortable in sin, but it's safe. We will not hurt you on purpose. We will not damage people on purpose. We will not judge people because they're not like us. They're not our color. They're not our economic class. They're not our anything. That means we don't judge the poor, but we don't judge the rich either. All are welcome at the cross. All are welcome at this lighthouse. It's a safe place to enter the kingdom of God, to grow in the kingdom of God, to learn in the kingdom of God, and to become who God has called you to be. We are a lighthouse in Claremore. There may be others. I'm not responsible for others. I'm not doing comparisons this morning. Please don't think that way. I'm saying this is who we are. It's not because I said it, because in 1 Timothy 1:18, the Bible says that we wage effective warfare through the prophetic word that has been declared over us. Paul said that to Timothy. And honestly, that's one of the strongest verses in 1 Timothy. It says Paul commanded Timothy. He didn't suggest it. He commanded him. This command I give to you, my son Timothy, that by the prophecies that have gone on before you, that it's by those prophecies, the verb reflects back to the prophecies, by those prophecies you wage effective warfare. My idea of effective warfare is I win. I step on the devil's head, and I stand victorious. And if you want to learn how to do that, you can learn it here. Now, I feel like I'm supposed to do this, so I'm just going to do it. How many of you came here broken? Now, wait, before you raise your hands, I want to ask you to show your hand. How many of you came here broken and goofed up? I mean, the first time you ever walked in this building, you were broken and goofed up, and you've been hanging out a while, and you are better. Raise your hands. Raise your hand. Now, for those of y'all who look around and say, well, I don't know if I was goofed up or not, Pastor, then don't worry about it. But these are the people that knew they came here broken. Now, look what God has done. Stand up, y'all. Y'all got your hands up. Not everybody, just the ones who get handed. Stand up. Now you look at this. This is the testimony. Come on, Chris. Where's my Chris? Everybody look around. This is my legacy. This is my testimony. This is the fruit of my ministry. So, Pastor, I'm still broken. Yeah, but you're not as goofed up as you were. Thanks be unto God. You know, Jake and Becky came to a New Year's party. I was just thinking about this last night. They showed up at a New Year's party the first year they were here. Came because it was a party, and we were just partying hardy, you know, at my house and doing all kinds of stuff. Jake hadn't been able to work for 5 or 7 or longer years because his back was messed up. Is that right, Jake? Look at me. Isn't that right? And right there in the middle of a New Year's Eve party, we prayed for Jake in my Florida room, and God just healed him, and he's been working ever since. Mike Holman came to a prayer meeting on Saturday night. We were doing prayer on Saturday night back 100 years ago. And Mike Holman was here standing over in that section somewhere. And the word of the Lord came to me to go sing a love song over him. Now, first of all, I don't know that I want to sing a love song over anybody that's a male. That betrays my bias. But secondly, I don't know how to sing. Chris sings. I don't sing. I know I can't carry a tune in a bucket with a lid on it, and I don't need to demonstrate it to anybody. But it was the word of the Lord, and I walked right over there and I sang a love song from Father to Mike, and his testimony is he's never been the same. It hadn't been easy. He's been through some stuff, but it's never been the same. We are a lighthouse. I was standing with Chris Belcher in the waiting room, in the surgical waiting room, Hillcrest Hospital. Some of you have been out there in that outpatient room. You go up to the second floor and you're standing around there, and the doctor came out after he had been inside Chris's body for a little while, Trisha's body for a little while. He come out and he called Chris Belcher's name. We walked over there. We're standing there. We thought, what is he doing out here now? He's only been in there 15, 20 minutes. Supposed to be a 3-hour surgery. He comes out. Doctor looked at Chris and said, it's not there. Chris said, what? What? What do you mean? What about the tumor? Well, it's not there. Well, what about the mass? It's not there. I called my office and had them fax over all the stuff. I thought I had the wrong woman. Because it was there last week, but it's not there now. I've only seen this one other time. It's when I was at the City of Faith. I was his prayer partner. Doesn't mean I did it, but I tell you the truth. We're a lighthouse. We're a safe place. We're not a perfect place. Those of you that are first-time attenders today, listen to me. We are not a perfect place. We don't pretend to be. We're a real place. We try to be honest. We mess up. We try to be honest about it. We repent. You give us enough time, we will repent. All right. Amen. Everybody else stand up, please.